Hello, welcome to Wombats and Music. This is your host, Harry Beyer. I bring you Wombats and Music Monday nights at 7 and Saturdays at 1 from WEHC at Emory and Henry College and WISE in Wise, Virginia. It's my chance each week to play for you songs I think are extra special and, on ordinary shows, put in an occasional wombat. That's what I call odd things, reading, stories, jokes, or something I've recorded, perhaps of myself singing, and I call those things wombats. Well, tonight is a new format. This is sort of a commemorative show. I've been doing this for years, and I'm sort of celebrating it, and this is Nothing But Wombat. So everything on this show is a wombat. And that means it's going to be no commercial recordings of ordinary music. There's some novelty things that I think of as wombats. And I'm going to first give you a little history of my show. A number of years ago, over 10 years ago, I had friends who we used to go out and have dinner together, go to movies and things, all employed at Emory and Henry. I was on the staff full-time as an instructional technologist, and one of them was going out of town the next week and said he had a problem because he had a weekly radio show and there was no one to perform it. He was going to be gone. And he said, would anyone like to do it? And I said, I'd love to do a radio show. He said, good, it's yours. And so he got me set up. And I went in and I did a radio show. And my subject was broken hearts. And I played all, mostly country music, songs about broken-hearted people. And that sort of whetted my taste. And later, when he left the faculty or left the staff, I went to the radio station manager, Teresa Keller, and volunteered to do a weekly show. And she said, well, we'll try it out. Give me a sample. And I did. And I ended up with this show. And I called it Wombats and Music, and I'll tell you a little bit about that. When my children were growing up, I had two sons, I used to tell them stories every night. And for some reason, I used the word wombat. I didn't know what a wombat was. I knew it was an animal, but I knew nothing else. And we began to have stories with every now and then with a wombat in it. So that when the show came up, I decided to name it Wombats and Music. Wombats were odd things that I'd put in. So that's how the show got its name. And that's how the show started. So tonight will be all wombats, nothing but wombats, and the next show will be the same. So the first thing I'm going to do is play for you a poem, a very short poem I wrote, Ode to Wombats by Harry Beyer. Beware the deadly wombat, child, for darkness is their realm, and life is dark and dank with wombats at the helm. And yet within this ancient soul there is some hidden whimsy, where in sleep we share their dreams, in nightgowns oh so flimsy. Into our lives their spirit breathes ancient memories genetic, that soothe the troubled beasts in us trapped in this world frenetic. I know not why they make me laugh, and oft delight me so, yet when I hear the wombat's call, it's there that I must go. Tickatummy. Ode to Wombats by Harry Beyer. Well, tonight's nothing but wombats. And I have a number of things lined up for this evening. And I think two of them are songs with me singing. And one is with me and my wife singing. And the rest are a variety of things I've collected that amuse me, that I think of as wombats. The first thing is a song by me, sung by me, I didn't write it, called Froggy. And I particularly enjoy this song and have a lot of fun singing it, especially for kids. It's a version of Froggy Winnicorton that I learned from my friend Jeff Davis. So this is Froggy by Harry Beyer.
Froggy Winnicorton and he did ride, Chow Willie, Chow Willie. Froggy Winnicorton and he did ride, Chow Willie Wee. Froggy went a courtin' and he did ride, sword and a pistol by his side. Come a ring tum tiddle, come a ring tum tee, Chow Willie Wee. He rode up to Miss Mousie's door, Chow Willy, Chow Willy. He rode up to Miss Mousie's door. Chow Willy wee. He rode up to Miss Mousie's door. He made it rattle and he made it roar. Come a ring tum tiddle, come a ring tum tee. Chow Willy wee. Miss Mousie come down and let him in. Chow Willy, Chow Willy. Miss Mousie come down and let him in. Chow Willy wee. Miss Mousie come down and let him in. The way they courted it was a sin. Come a ring tum tiddle, come a ring tum tee. Chow Willy wee. He took Miss Mousie on his knee. Chow Willy, Chow Willy. He took Miss Mousie on his knee. Chow Willy wee. He took Miss Mousie on his knee. He said, Miss Mousie, will you marry me? Come a ring tum tiddle, come a ring tum tee. Chow Willy wee. Without my Uncle Rat's consent. Chow Willy, Chow Willy. Without my Uncle Rat's consent. Chow Willy wee. Without my Uncle Rat's consent, I would not marry the president. Come a ring tum tiddle, come a ring tum tee. Chow Willy wee. Uncle Rat laughed and shook his fat side. Chow Willy, Chow Willy. Uncle Rat laughed and shook his fat side. Chow Willy wee. Uncle Rat laughed and shook his fat side to think his niece would be a bride. Come a ring tum tiddle, come a ring tum tee. Chow Willy wee. Where will the wedding supper be? Chow Willy, Chow Willy. Where will the wedding supper be? Chow Willy wee. Where will the wedding supper be? Down in the holler of an old oak tree. Come a ring tum tiddle, come a ring tum tee. Chow Willy wee. Froggy went a courtin' and he did ride. Chow Willy, Chow Willy. Froggy went a courtin' and he did ride. Chow Willy wee. Froggy went a courtin' and he did ride. Sword and a pistol by his side. Come a ring tum tiddle, come a ring tum tee. Chow Willy wee.
Froggy by Harry Baya. The next reading is by Les Barker, who's a performer on stage in England. It's called Arnold the Armadillo, and I've memorized this and performed it a few times, but this is where I got it from. Arnold the Armadillo.
Arnold was an armadillo, and oh so in need of romance. And it chanced that one Saturday evening, Arnold went out to a dance. The moment he walked in the room, he saw her, as if he had known she'd be there at the side of the stage. All he wanted, all in black, all alone. She was there, she was his, dressed to kill, oh, if only his glasses were cleaner. For he was an armadillo, and she was a concertina. He struggled to make conversation. He leapfrogged from topic to topic. If only she'd say something back. If only he wasn't myopic. Bright silver buttons in rows, from head down to toes in black leather. Could this beauty love him? Here goes, poor Arnold thought. It's now or never. He could picture her head on his pillow. He'd loved her the moment he'd seen her. But he was an armadillo, and she was a concertina. You can't help but feel for the lad. Oh, how happy poor Arnold would be if they could make love in the shadow, and no one but no one would see. Alas, what he hoped might have been a sweet secret was soured completely. Sex with a concertina is rarely accomplished discreetly.
Froggy
dancers stopped stripping the willow. It was all such a loud misdemeanor, for he was an armadillo and she was a concertina. Picture love as a kind of concerto. Poor Arnold, his first was unfinished, for what let everyone who was there know, a very loud C-sharp diminished. Somebody said, look, it's Arnold, and he ran from their scorn and their laughter into the darkness outside and never returned ever after. Tales of lost love and dreams unfulfillow. Cruel Cupid, you've never been meaner, for he was an armadillo and she was a concertina.
Arnold the Armadillo by Les Barker. The next song is a novelty song. It's called They're Coming to Take Me Away, Ha Ha, by Napoleon the 14th. And it's one of those songs that if you've never heard it, once you hear it, many people, me for one, will never forget it. So this is it. They're Coming to Take Me Away, Ha Ha, by Napoleon the 14th.
Remember when you ran away and I got on my knees and begged you not to leave because I go berserk? Well, you left me anyhow, and then the days got worse and worse, and now you see I've gone completely out of my mind. And they're coming to take me away, ha-ha, they're coming to take me away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha, to the funny farm where life is beautiful all the time, and I'll be happy to see those nice young men in their clean white coats, and they're coming to take me away, ha-ha! You thought it was a joke, and so you laughed. You laughed when I had said that losing you would make me flip my lid. Right? You know you laughed. I heard you laugh. You laughed and laughed, and then you left. But now you know I'm utterly mad. And they're coming to take me away, ha-ha. They're coming to take me away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha. To the happy home with trees and flowers and chirping birds and basket weavers who sit and smile and twiddle their thumbs and toes, and they're coming to take me away, ha-ha. I cooked your food, I cleaned your house, and this is how you pay me back for all my kind, unselfish, loving deeds. Ha? Well, you just wait, they'll find you yet. And when they do, they'll put you in the ASPCA, you mangy mutt. And they're coming to take me away, ha-ha. They're coming to take me away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha. To the funny farm where life is beautiful all the time. And I'll be happy to see those nice young men in their clean white coats. And they're coming to take me away, ha-ha. To the happy home with trees and flowers and chirping birds and basket weavers who sit and smile and twiddle their thumbs and toes, and they're coming to take me away, ha-ha! To the funny farm where life is beautiful all the time, and I'll be happy to see those nice young men in their...
You just heard They're Coming to Take Me Away, Ha Ha, by Napoleon the 14th. The next song, next recording, is by Ken Nordine. Ken Nordine has a incredible voice and quite a talent, artistic talent for creation, and created this one. This is called Flibbity Jib, and it's a story. Let me read you a little bit about Ken Nordine. It says that some of his work is lightweight and humorous, while others reveal dark, paranoid undercurrents in bizarre, dreamlike scenarios. Well, they also say his writing is a little bit like, more like Franz Kafka and Edgar Allan Poe than his contemporaries. So this is Ken Nordine with Flibbity Jib.
This stranger who came into our town. He was tall and had a dark look about him, and a special brilliance was in his eyes. When he looked at us, there was the feeling that he could see right down to the bottom. We may have been mistaken in this, but at the time, no questions were asked. The questions always come later. All we cared about was the mystery we sensed in this stranger, and we waited to see what would happen. One evening that was different from any other, he got us all together in the big auditorium. He stood there on the huge stage. The only light was on him, and we waited in the dark. Then out of his tallness came the chanting, first as a whisper we could hardly hear. The flippity chip on the bippity pop, the flippity chip on the bippity pop. It didn't make any sense. We were caught up in something we didn't understand. He had trapped us without our knowing it. Possibly it was his manner. And we came alive to him as he slowly moved us with his chant through the land of hush into insistent, savage, throbbing crescendos of ecstasy, as if it were the only thing we could do. We started to chant with him. The flippity jib on the bippity bop, the flippity jib on the bippity bop. And he was up on the high stage, laughing with all his might, shouting, yes, yes, yes. But there were those among us who were jealous of his powers, who felt they should be in the center of the stage, with the light shining on them. They were against our hero and the chanting, and are going to be with him every free moment. And so, little by little, a little later, these critics set to work to make nonsense out of the sense of what we were doing. And they succeeded. They destroyed our hero's faith in himself. He didn't have it anymore. After a few disappointing times in the big auditorium, the light gone out of him, we all stopped going, and the man who had once seemed so tall, and who now seems so much smaller, left our town, saying no, no, no. We lived through the boredom of the time that followed, telling each other pale stories of what once was, and what might have been if. We lived on histories and hopes. We did this until the miracle we never thought would happen again happened. Another stranger came into our town, and he too was tall and dark and had eyes that could look right down into the bottom of you. And he got us all together in the big auditorium, and with the light on him, we were in the dark. He chanted, the flippity jib on the bippity bop, the flippity jib on the bippity bop. And we joined in, and the magic was in us. And he was laughing, and all his might was with him, and he was shouting, yes, yes, yes. But there were those among us who were jealous and so forth. You know what they did. Little by little, a little later, they put us back on the narrow path. This is the way things have been in our town for as long as anyone cares to remember. By the way, how are things in your town?
That was Ken Nordine performing Flibberty Jib. In case you're tuning in the middle of the show, I probably ought to alert you that this show is not an ordinary Wombats and Music show. This is nothing but wombats. So every item on the show tonight is a special odd thing, which I call a wombat. And the last one was Flipperty Jib by Ken Nordin. The next one up is a recording of me leading a song in a group. And I think the group chorus is as important in this as I am. The song is called One Day I Will. And we had a campers concert at the weekends I used to go to. And so you got to perform in front of all your friends, 50, 60 people, almost all of whom were singers. And it was a treat because they could join in the chorus, especially if they knew the song. And they didn't know this one, One Day I Will. So for me, it's a remembering an experience. I think the music's okay, pretty good, but it's a strong memory for me. And you can sort of share what it's like to be with a bunch of friends who sing with you. One Day I Will.
I got this song from Jeff Davis, who I guess is probably my favorite singer. It has a chorus. And I may have to change the key once before. I never have seen the face of my Savior, but serving him has been such a thrill. I never have seen the gates to the city. One day I will. One day I will walk on the streets of pure gold, and they tell me that that has never yet been told. I'll be united with my loved ones on Zion's holy hill. One day I will. From the day I first met him, he has been all to me. My life with joy he has filled. I'm longing for the day when my eyes shall behold him. And one day I will. One day I will walk on the streets of your glory, and they tell me that that has never yet been told. I'll be united with my loved ones on Zion's holy hill. One day I will. My mother, then my father, have gone on before me, and oh, how I miss them still. But my God has told me I will meet them over Jordan. One day I will. One day. Sang beside us, and now stand on Zion's high hill. But I know that one day we will again sing together.
One day I will. One day.
One Day I Will, sung by Harry Baya and friends. The next wombat on our show is a very short piece by Shel Silverstein. It's called Boa, which I'm sure is short for boa constrictor.
Oh, fiddle, it's up to my middle. Oh, heck, it's up to my neck. Oh, dread! It's up to my...
That was Boa by Shel Silverstein. I rarely leave any silence after I play anything on the show, but there I thought the silence was appropriate. In fact, maybe 20 seconds might have been good to leave you to figure out what happened. The next song, the next recording, is Albert and the Lion by Kenneth Boulding. Kenneth Boulding was a reasonably famous economist, nominated for the Nobel Prize a number of times, and I was on a week of people on an island, and during the week they had a variety show, and Kenneth Boulding, who at that point was probably in his early 80s, got up and performed this reading, which he had memorized, Albert and the Lion, and I loved it. I spoke to him later, and he said that he had performed it as a student at Oxford. He was British when he was young, and performed it every now and then since then. So I encouraged him to record it, and eventually he did. I actually got his son involved, twisting his arm. So he did record it and sent me a cassette recording, and this is from that. So this is Albert and the Lion, a famous music hall piece from England, and it's recorded by Kenneth Boulding.
By Marriott Edgar, recited by Kenneth Boulding. There's a famous seaside place called Blackpool that's noted for fresh air and fun. And Mr. and Mrs. Ramsbottom went there with young Albert, their son. A grand little lad was young Albert, all dressed in his best, quite a swell, with a stick with an horse's head handle, the finest that Woolworths could sell. They didn't think much to the ocean. The waves, they was fiddling and small. There was no wrecks and nobody drowned. In fact, nothing to laugh at all. So seeking for further amusement, they paid and went into the zoo, where they lions and tigers and camels and old ale and sandwiches too. There were one great big lion called Wallace. His nose was all covered with scars. He lay in a somnolent posture with the side of his face on the bars. Now Albert had heard about lions, how they was ferocious and wild. To see Wallace lying so peaceful, why, it didn't seem right to the child. So straightway, the brave little fella, not showing a morsel of fear, took his stick with his horse's head handle and pushed it in Wallace's ear. You could see that the lion didn't like it, but giving a kind of a roar, he pulled Albert in the cage with him and swallowed the little lad whole. And Paul, who had seen the occurrence, and didn't know what to do next, said, "Mother, yon lion's at Albert." And Mother said, "Well, I am vexed." Then Mr. and Mrs. Ramsbottom, quite rightly, when all said and done, complained to the animal keeper that the lion had eaten their son. The keeper was quite nice about it. He said, "Oh, what a nasty mishap. Are you sure it's your boy that he's eaten?" Paul said, "Am I sure? There's his cap." The manager had to be sent for. He came and he said, "What's to do?" Paul said, "Yon lion's et, Albert, and him in his Sunday clothes too." Then Mother said, "Right's right, young fella. I think it's a shame and a sin for a lion to go and eat Albert and after we paid to come in." The manager wanted no trouble. He took out his purse right away, saying, "How much to settle the matter?" And Paul said, "What do you usually pay?" Her mother had turned a bit awkward when she thought where her Albert had gone and said, "Now, somebody's got to be summoned." So that were decided upon. And off they went to police station in front of Magistrate Chap and told him what happened to Albert and proved it by showing his cap. The magistrate gave his opinion that, oh, no one was really to blame, and said he hoped the Ramsbottoms would have further sons to their name. And that mother got proper blazing. "And thank you, sir, kindly," said she. "What, waste all our lives raising children to feed ruddy lions, not me."
That was Kenneth Boulding reciting Albert and the Lion. You're listening to Wombats and Music, and this show, this particular show, is a unique one, the first one I've done like this. This is nothing but wombats. Wombats and Music usually contains mostly commercial recorded music, country music, folk music, that sort of thing, pop music, 50s, but and occasionally I put in a reading, a story, a joke, or a recording I've made, and those things I call wombats. So tonight's show and next week's show is nothing but wombats. So it's all wombats. Everything on the show is wombats. It comes to you from WEHC and WISE radio stations in Emory Henry College and Wise, Virginia. And it's my chance to put on these things and this week to have nothing but wombats. The next song on today's show is me and my wife. We are singing Mary, Did You Know? And I wanted to put something on that had the two of us singing together, so this is it. Mary, Did You Know? By Harry Baya and Phyllis Hale.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will save our sons and daughters?
Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? The child that you delivered will soon deliver you.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man?
Mary, did you know
your baby boy will calm a storm with his hand?
Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? When you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God. The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will rise again.
The lame will meet, the dumb will speak, the praises of the Lamb.
Mary, did you know
that your baby boy is Lord of all creation?
Mary, did you know
that your baby boy
will one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? The sleeping child you're holding is the great.
Mary, Did You Know? Sung by Harry Baya and Phyllis Hale. One of my favorite comedians is a Cajun comedian named Justin Wilson. And he just tells stories. And they aren't really terribly clever in the normal sense of humor joke way. But somehow his delivery makes them more than they could possibly be any other way. I'm not going to tell you the name of this story till after he's told it, because the name gives away. It's a spoiler. So this is Justin Wilson telling you a story from the swamps of Louisiana.
I got a friend that ain't the best duck hunter in the world. He is the very best. Everybody want to go hunt some duck with him. He don't never took nobody with him except his retrieving dog named Fido, too. His name was Fido, not Fido twice, just Fido also, too. And everybody asks him, and he got a standing answer. They say, how about I took with you to hunt some duck? He say, hell no. And one day, one of them banking people would loan him some money to build the brick house that he loved. Ooh, he loved that brick house. Asked him, say, how about took me with you to hunt some duck, huh? Hell no. He say, how you like that brick house what you got? He say, I love that brick house. He say, how about took me with you to hunt some duck, huh? Well, you don't got to hit that kid in the face with a wet mop. He knows what's going on. He said, okay, pick me up in your country Cadillac in the morning, 4:30 a.m. o'clock, and we go on the marsh and get that. He said, okay, so at 4:30 a.m. o'clock, he's there and beep, beep, he blow his horn. This Cajun come out there, my friend, come out there and get in the truck in his bank, and people say, where's Fido? He say, we don't need him. He say, oh, yes, we do. There's a little tin film of ice on that marsh this morning. And I ain't about to wait, and then I know you ain't. Call Fido and let's don't got some argue. He said, okay. Fido brought you, sir. Old Fido, boom, jump up in them truck. They go get in the pirogue boat, all three of them, and I want you to know a pirogue boat ain't safe for one people, let alone three. And they get in there, and my friend go into the blind. When they sit there quiet, and it's not long before here come one duck in a bunch all by himself. And my friend called him up, and good. And they give him that feed call and put him right down in front. Well, that banking people, he raised up with that automatic shoot gun he got. Bloom, 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 bloom. And he killed that duck dead. He say, sent Fido for the duck, man. My friend say, don't you worry some, none at all, any about that duck. He's dead like hell, I guarantee. He couldn't get up if he wanted to. He said, sent the dog and let the dog got some arguing. He said, okay. Fido, go brought them duck. Trip, 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 trip right on top of the water. Fido run up there and pick up them duck. Trip, trip, trip right back on top of the water. He ran back and put them duck down. That banking people didn't say a word. Not long before here come another duck in a bunch all by himself. And my friend called him up, and good, he most lost this one time. Put right down in front. Man, he raised up with that twice-barrel carabine what he's got, my friend, and blim, blim, kill that duck dead, and right now. The banking people say, sent Fido for the duck, and please, let's don't got some argue. He say, okay, Fido, go brought them duck, trip, 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 right on top of the water. Fido run out there and pick up them duck, trip, 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 right back on top of the water and put that duck down. The banking people say, I did not said something at first because I thought it was a damn lie. But did you see that dog run out there on top of that water and pick that duck up and run back on top of the water and put that duck down? Huh? My friend say, yeah. And that embarrassed me more than I can ever told you. I never could taught that damn dog how to swim.
That was Justin Wilson telling a story titled The Dog That Couldn't Swim. So, today is an all-wombat show, and of course, here comes another wombat. This is John the Revelator, a gospel-type tune, and I was on another week on the same island where I heard Kenneth Boulding doing Albert the Lion, but many years later. And a young man who was working on the island that summer, college students worked there, they call them pelicans when they're employed on the island, got up at the variety show and performed this song. I had never heard it before, and I was quite taken with it. I don't know his name. This was in 2015. This is John the Revelator.
This song is John the Revelator. It's an old gospel blues song. It's a lot more fun if people sing along, so I'm going to tell you the hook beforehand, and then once you got the tune, please sing along. It's, who's that writing, John the Revelator? Who's that writing, John the Revelator? Who's that writing, John the Revelator? Wrote the book of the seven seals. Okay.
Tell me who's that writing, John the Revelator? Who's that writing, John the Revelator? Who's that writing, John the Revelator? Wrote the book of the seven seals. Yeah, God walked down to the cool of the day. He called out my name, but he refused to answer, for he was naked and ashamed. Well, tell me who's that writing, John the Revelator?
John the Revelator, performed by a young man whose name I don't know. And the same is true of the next song. I was at a music week at Pine Woods Camp in Plymouth, Massachusetts, in the woods by the lake, and I happened to walk by a young man sitting on a log playing the banjo, and I liked what I heard, so I sat down and talked to him, and I recorded our conversation, some of it, and also the song. He told me it was named Brickyard Pond, and I've searched. There is no recording anywhere of a song called Brickyard Pond, so I may have the only recording. This is Brickyard Pond on the banjo, old-timey banjo.
It's called Brickyard Pond.
It's in your town.
Yeah, and what happened was I started to write this tune about 2 years ago, and I started off with just a real melodic line. And then after hearing some of the old time fiddlers and stuff, it strayed a little bit. But it's still not down to the old time style.
Sounded old timey to me.
Brickyard Pond, old-timey banjo style, a tune performed by its creator. And we're moving on now to the Irish Ballad by Tom Lehrer. Tom Lehrer was a math professor. Actually, he was at the school I was at for a little while I was there, but I didn't know of him. And he became popular performing in coffee houses and places, and really got better known for his music than his math work. And eventually he stopped. He stopped making music. Said it was taking away from his career, which is a shame because he had a wonderful sense of humor. And I had a hard time picking out which one to play of Tom Lehrer's songs. I picked this one because even though it is grotesque, many of his songs are grotesque, but some are also very depressing. This one is just grotesque and, I think, amusing. The Irish ballad by Tom Lehrer.
About a maid I'll sing a song, sing rickety-tickety-tin. About a maid I'll sing a song who didn't have her family long. Not only did she do them wrong, she did every one of them in, she did every one of them in. One morning in a fit of pique, sing rickety-tickety-tin. One morning in a fit of pique, she drowned her father in the creek. The water tasted bad for a week, and we had to make do with gin, we had to make do with gin. Her mother, she could never stand, sing rickety-tickety-tin. Her mother, she could never stand, and so a cyanide soup she planned. The mother died with a spoon in her hand, and her face in a hideous grin, a grin, her face in a hideous grin. She set her sister's hair on fire, rickety-tickety-tin. She set her sister's hair on fire, and as the smoke and flame rose higher, danced around the funeral pyre, playing a violin, olin, playing a violin. She weighted her brother down with stones, rickety-tickety-tin. She weighted her brother down with stones and sent him off to Davy Jones. All they ever found were some bones and occasional pieces of skin, of skin, occasional pieces of skin. One day when she had nothing to do, rickety-tickety-tin. One day when she had nothing to do, she cut her baby brother in two and served him up as an Irish stew and invited the neighbors in, boys in, invited the neighbors in. And when at last the police came by, rickety-tickety-tin. And when at last the police came by, her little pranks she did not deny. To do so she would have had to lie, and lying she knew was a sin, a sin. Lying she knew was a sin. My tragic tale I won't prolong, rickety-tickety-tin. My tragic tale I won't prolong, and if you do not enjoy my song, you've yourselves to blame if it's too long. You should never have let me begin, begin. You should never have let me begin.
That was The Irish Ballad by Tom Lehrer. The next piece is a poem written by James Weldon Johnson, performed by Frank Davis and the Fred Waring Chorale.
Come here, Lord, come here, Lord, come here, Lord, sinner crying, come here, Lord.
And God stepped out on space, and he looked around and he said, I'm lonely. I'll make me a world. And as far as the eye of God could see, darkness covered everything, blacker than 100 midnights down in a cypress swamp. And God smiled, and the light broke. The darkness rolled up on one side, and the light stood shining on the other. And God said, that's good. And God reached out and took the light in his hands, and God rolled the light around in his hand until he made the sun, and he set that sun ablazing in the heavens. And the light that was left from making the sun, God gathered it up in a shining ball and flung it against the darkness, spangling the night with the moon and the stars. And down between the darkness and the light, God hurled the world. And God said, that's good. Then God himself stepped down. The sun was on his right hand. The moon was on his left. The stars were clustered above his head. And the earth was under his feet. And God walked, And where he trod, his footprints hollow the valleys out and bulge the mountains up. And God stopped and looked and saw that the earth was hot and barren. So God stepped over to the edge of the world and spat out the seven seas. He batted his eyes and the lightnings flashed. He clapped his hands and the thunders rolled. And the waters above the earth came down. The cooling waters came down. Then the green grass sprouted and the little red flowers blossomed. The pine tree pointed his finger to the sky and the oak spread out his arms. The lakes curdled down in the hollows of the ground and the rivers ran down to the sea. And God smiled again and the rainbow appeared and curled itself around his shoulders. Then God raised his arm and he waved his hand over the sea and over the land. And he said, bring forth. And quicker than God could drop his hand, fishes and fowls and beasts and birds swam the rivers and seas, roamed the forests and woods, and split the air with their wings. And God said, that's good. Then God walked around, and God looked around on all that he had made. He looked at his sun, he looked at his moon, he looked at his little stars. He looked on his world with all its living things, and God said, I'm lonely still. Then God sat down on the side of a hill where he could think. By a deep, wide river, he sat down. With his head in his hands, God thought and thought, till he thought, I'll make me a man. Up from the bed of the river, God scooped the clay. And by the bank of the river, he kneeled him down. And there the great God Almighty, who lit the sun and fixed it in the sky, who flung the stars to the farmost corner of the night, who rounded the earth in the middle of his hand, this great God, like a mammy bending over her baby, kneeled down in the dust, toiling over a lump of clay, till he shaped it in his own image. Then into it he blew the breath of life, and man became a living soul.
Yes, he's taken my feet out of my weak clay, and he's placed upon the right side of my Father.
Oh, I know the Lord, I know.
The Creation, performed by Frank Davis and the Fred Waring Chorale. You've been listening to Wombats and Music, and tonight's a special show. It's Nothing But Wombats. And if you like the show and want more of it, email me, harry@baya.net, baya.net, and let me know. Or if you didn't like the show and don't want any more Anything But Wombat shows, let me know that too. Now, it's time to close out the show with my traditional closing. And so even though it's an Anything But Wombat show, we get the traditional closing. That's where I ask you to join me. So here we go. Please join me in celebrating most joyously our being here at all. Goodbye.